Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, in an aim to deter criminal networks from recruiting and exploiting children, Justice Minister Simon Harris will today look for cabinet approval for a new bill to criminalise the grooming of children for the purpose of criminal activity, a sort of Fagan's Law. Now, to talk about this, I'm joined on the line by Nicola Tallant, Investigations Editor with the Sunday World and creator of The Witness podcast, and by Paul McAuliffe, TD, Dublin North West Fianna Fáil spokesperson on local government. Good morning and welcome to you both. And Nicola, I'll go to you. First, you report on from the front lines, if you like, of crime. What do you think of this idea?
I think, look, it sounds like not a very long maximum prison term, but at the same time,
5 years is the max.
Yeah, it's a positive step, I think, because in the end of the day, we are fighting a war here, and the more armaments we have, you know, against organised crime, the better. I think, you know, a long time ago now, communities themselves were taking to the streets, they were marching on the home of drug dealers, they were trying themselves to protect their own children, but they're exhausted and the problem has got too big. So it's now up to everybody to come to the table, and, you know, every little bit of legislation that's brought in that can be used against criminals targeting children is better. I think there has to be a lot more done than this, but it's a definite positive first step.
One of the issues, of course, is that sometimes it'll be the parents within a family who are grooming their own children.
Yeah, that is really the biggest issue of all, I think, to be honest with you, because just like any sort of abuse, there's probably less strangers doing it than within a lot of criminal networks are family based. At the same time, there are vulnerable children in communities that are being targeted by, you know, drug dealers who aren't part of their inner circle or their relations. So, you know, there is definitely something to say for that. But a lot of the problems with organised crime, for Gardaí to infiltrate groups, you know, for intelligence to come in, etc., is because they have this blood bond, which gives them an extra layer of protection against what we have in society to fight against them. And that is, I mean, I have seen kids who are no longer kids, maybe they've grown up in the past sort of decade, and they are coming from a long line of criminality where the grandparents and often the great-grandparents would have started off the family business, and they're following through, and their criminality is now funding up the chain of the family network. That's the hardest problem of all, I think, to solve.
And the idea that if you convict a parent in court of grooming their child, and the parent gets 5 years or potentially 5 years, then the mitigation would be said, well, you know, they are the parent after all. You can't take the two parents away from these children. They need the parents, even though the parents are a malign influence on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think less and less as time has gone on, there's been less of an appetite to remove children from the family home. But at the same time, perhaps family law could come in as well, you know, alongside this, when you have the complex situation of the parent being the groomer, you know. In cases where there is sexual abuse, the children will be removed from the parent, and, you know, grooming children into criminality is creating a future for them that they have no choice with. There's only, you know, one way they're going when they go into organized crime. As far as kids from, you know, from outside the family are concerned, it's probably a simpler process for this legislation to work.
And how typically would that process work? I mean, when you get a local kid and one of the drug dealers decides to use that kid as a drug mule, I mean, how do they groom them and what do they offer them? What is the lure?
Well, many things. Sometimes they do it because they frighten them so much. I remember being down in Limerick in the aftermath of the Dundons and speaking to a mother who told me that her child would be lying up in bed and one of them would come to the door, literally push past her, go upstairs and drag the kid, young teenager, by the ankles out of the bed down the stairs to come out and do something for them. I mean, what do you do in that situation when that, you know, presence is within the community? In other cases, they will lure the kids. I mean, as a child, what age do you actually make a proper decision in what you're doing? But they lure them through money and through, you know, fast cars and that lifestyle they see. And that lifestyle is there. It mostly ends, you know, with a bullet in the head or, you know, been left lying on the side of the road. I think really ultimately for all of us in society, it's to try and put ourselves in the position, if it was our child that was being groomed or that these predators were around, we would want really every arm of the state against that and for help.
So in theory, the way this law would work is a child is caught, say, carrying drugs. That child then fesses up that it was Joe Bloggs who supplied the drugs and, you know, paid them to do the delivery. And then Joe Bloggs would be convicted of the crime of grooming the child 5 years behind bars.
Well, when you're talking about that, you're literally going down the route of witness protection there, because usually, you know, you're not going to get evidence from a young child who is terrified by an older drug dealer. Presumably, this law is looking to decriminalise the child for the offence and criminalise an older adult without probably using the child as a witness. I mean, that seems to be, to me, the only
way. So therefore, it would have to be Garda intelligence that would nail the groomer in most cases for it to be effective.
Some way of linking, or, you know, whether that be surveillance activity or otherwise, perhaps the evidence of a senior Garda, some sort of you know, links of evidence that we see in cases where there isn't exactly, you don't have the hands on the drugs. See, more and more with this gangland legislation, there was a time when you used to have to catch offenders red-handed, literally loading drugs into a van or whatever. But there's loads of other legislation there now as regards directing criminal groups, etc., that you don't actually have to, you know, a string of evidence can come together to create a picture, and I presume that would be the same in this case.
All right, Nicola, thank you very much for joining us. Nicola Tallant is Investigations Editor at the Sunday World and creator of the Witness podcast. Paul McAuliffe, TD, Dublin North West for Fianna Fáil, their spokesperson on local government. Paul, you'll welcome this new Fagan's Law, I presume.
Absolutely, and I think Nicola has touched on some really important points past both the complexity of it and also the different applications. I know Minister Anne Rabbitt, who in opposition proposed this concept of Fagan's Law, initially was doing it because of families involved in small break-ins and crimes and pickpocketing and so on. And I remember at the time I saw the application in my community where young people were being induced into criminal gangs, and I brought Anne out to chat to them, and it was only at that stage that she realised the scale of how important this legislation can be. So it does have applications in so many different ways, and as Nicola says, it creates a separate prosecutable offence. Obviously at the moment parents can be included in a prosecution against a child and be named as the principal offender. What this does is it gives the Gardaí to have a separate prosecutable offence for the adult involved, and that means that effectively the child can be left out of that criminal prosecution system. And I think that idea of decriminalising the child is probably a good simple way of explaining that. Now look, we still have an illegal drugs industry here that are inducing children. You asked about what those inducements are. I'm being told by people working on the ground they can start as small as a takeaway, a tray of curry chips, if you move something from one area to another, and then slowly with power runners or tracksuit or good jacket, people are induced into a lifestyle that is perceived to be successful. But one thing that everybody agrees that works with those young people is that a life of crime is never successful because it often ends in death.
Yeah. So when you get this kind of stranger inducements into a life of crime, grooming them into a life of crime, and you have a parent who sees what's happening and feels powerless to front up to these guys.
Yeah, look, I think I've just come from a meeting now about early intervention in education. Like, there's so much of this issue that is so complex, and I actually really welcome the broader focus that government are giving on this, both to try and eliminate child poverty and the strong intervention in places like the North Inner City and the 15 or 20 other communities that are very similar to it around the country. This is just one tool in the toolbox that we're giving Gardaí. It will not solve everything, but it certainly will allow those people working with young people to make referrals directly to the Gardaí in the same way as you might for a child protection concern. That same type of referral system now is there. So it allows people working directly with children to raise concerns where they feel that adults are adversely coercing young people into this kind of life of crime. Now, Pat, it won't solve the flow of young people into it because we've so many complex societal issues that we also have to resolve with resources and intervention, but it's one tool.
Yeah, the question of whether or not this Fagan's Law might act as a deterrent to some of the more senior people in the gangs from grooming young people, knowing that maybe a fairly simple prosecution might result in a few years behind bars, and would that lead them to perhaps do the dirty work themselves, therefore exposing themselves to being caught in the act?
The problem here, Pat, is we're dealing with an industry that doesn't care about government or the state or what's right or what's wrong. It's a commercial enterprise. And this week I launched a podcast on the Citizens Assembly on Drugs, which are going to be held this year, and the debate around the decriminalisation of the person using drugs. And I think that's something we're going to have to more and more look at, because if we don't tackle the industry that surrounds these people, in many cases, these organisations outgun and outman the Gardaí in our communities. And they're multinational organisations that are trading billions and billions of euro. So a five-year sentence is not going to dissuade anybody. We need a bigger debate around how the drugs industry interacts with people with addiction and how we can have a more humane approach to people with addiction.
Do you favour a partial or full decriminalisation? Because obviously there are drugs and drugs, everything from cannabis to crystal meth.
Yeah, over the three episodes of the podcast series, we've 9 different guests who all have varying different views, but they all seem to have come to a position where we want a health-led approach, and where the intervention to help somebody with addiction shouldn't be a justice response, should be a health response. The devil of the argument is going to be what the grey areas are in that space. So how much of a substance, what type of substances, and where would they secure that substances, who would provide those substances. Yeah. So it's much broader. I certainly am not in favour of the American model of legalising and throwing it to the market and effectively profiting off the issue of addiction. The Portuguese model has benefits, but let's make an Irish model. Let's have something different. The Citizens Assembly on Drugs is going to be a really interesting debate this year for 2023, and I'd encourage people who maybe haven't thought about it before, maybe listen to resources like the podcast, listen to people who maybe have a slightly different view, be open-minded, and maybe we can build a consensus on it.
Now, you talk about lack of numbers in the Garda Síochána being outgunned, outmanned by the gangs. Interesting thing, it released to Jim O'Callaghan, your Fianna Fáil colleague, by the Minister for Justice, showing that fitness tests for those wanting to join the Garda might be too demanding for some. One-sixth of Garda applicants failed the fitness test. What do you think?
Well, I think what Jim is trying to do there is to, like every sector of society at the moment, recruitment is a real challenge, getting people to recruit. And so we've budgeted for increases in Gardaí over the last 2.5 years of this new government. But we the Gardaí are saying that they aren't able to recruit those numbers. So I haven't seen Jim's comments, but I imagine what he's trying to do is reduce the threshold so that we can have more people enter the Gardaí. Look, fitness is something that can be worked on. I try and do it on my own fitness all the time, and I should do a lot more. Yeah. So if we can get people in, we can work on people's fitness.
Yeah, the I don't know. The I mean, are we going from PC sprint to PC plod?
What we need are more PCs, or we need more Gardaí, and it's very evident that even when the open calls are available for Gardaí, we're not recruiting the numbers that we should. Not because of resources, yeah. But
at least there'll be one fit member of the force, the fellow who's cycling around behind the leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan. He'll be fit as a flea by the time he's done, or indeed she, who knows. But I presume that person will have to be armed, as Garda Protection officers are, going round with a gun on your bike. Anyway, Paul, thank you very much for joining us. Paul McCullough, TD, Dublin North West, Fianna Fáil spokesperson on local government.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.